Tim, if you would stand close to that machine with the Ghostbusters.
Facing which direction?
That's true.
I'm not sure. I think they're pretty. It's actually probably a pretty good mic.
Okay.
It's like the one she owns.
All right. Good evening, board. How are you all?
Fine.
Great. I'm enjoying my time here with you, listening to the ins and outs, the ups and downs, etc. And I just wanted to convey my appreciation for the time you're putting in, but likewise to convey my support for a particular individual I've had the pleasure of working with at a community level while here in Houston. Ted and I have worked together with the Rotary organization. We also have worked in supporting a political candidate, Bernie Sanders, and we also have done other things at a grassroots level. I'm very pleased with the work we've done, been very progressive, and when I think and I listen to the activities tonight, I am so pleased that he's put his time, energy into the organization to help raise it to another level. So I wanted to convey my support for him and let you know publicly my feeling of it and also to convince you of it as well. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you get some money back in the bank. Next one is Teresa.
Hello, everybody. Congratulations on being seated as our new LSB, and I look forward to a very productive year with you.
Can you come up closer to the mic, please?
I hope to be continuing to serve on the development committee, and I will help as needed. I do want to call to your attention, especially the newcomers, the work of the affiliates task force and the affiliates in general. 16 years ago, when I was first seated, we had only 13 affiliates. We have now over 200. And you say, well, why does that interest, why is that of interest to us? Well, these affiliate stations, which are internet stations, small stations. There's a station I've been to in Urbana, Illinois, that is just in an indie media building. It's just the studio. Some of them are college stations, university stations, stations like KGNU in Boulder, which has purchased an AM station, or WMNF in Tampa. I've been to a lot of these stations. I've also been to the Grassroots Radio Conference, about six or seven of them. And I've also been to an NFCB meeting. They give me hope because these are stations that are on their own. And when we have infighting, I look to these stations because they are holding their own and meeting quite a few challenges. And they look to us to provide services like AudioPort. If they don't have the money to have their own full news department, they can utilize AudioPort. And these stations are our clients. They should sign contracts. They give us money. And we should give them something for their money. I have been involved with this program and drawing inspiration for it for about 15 years. And up until fairly recently, I think the meetings of the Affiliate Task Force have been some of the most constructive meetings that I've attended. I drew inspiration from a woman from Atlanta who was the vice chair of our Pacifica National Board as she was chairing our Affiliate Task Force, and she was also her name was Heather Gray, and she was very helpful in hoping and trying to get development started for the Pacifica Foundation. So I'm hoping that you will appreciate that these many stations are a source of inspiration for us, as well as needing our services, and I hope that we can demonstrate to us that we can work together as a board and maybe even inspire the PNB to treat them courteously and generously as our clients. So, thank you.
Mr. Chair, we have 30 minutes on this, right?
Correct.
And have you divided that time up with
Yes.
We had decided on initially on 4 minutes.
Good.
I don't think anybody's reached 4 minutes. Okay. Got close to 4 minutes. So. The next person is Joseph.
Oh.
I don't think you want to remain anonymous, but...
Yeah, nobody knows who I am. I want to point out something different, especially to the new people. You are not in a hierarchical structure anymore. And there's a lot of confusion on that. People think that there's a boss, there's a leader, there's something. A chair is not the boss. He's the person who makes sure that things run smoothly. Thank you, Bob, for trying to do that. But what's very, very important for all of you new people to understand is your rights are the same as everybody else in the room. There's no such thing as seniority, whether you're a man or woman, black or white, Jewish or atheist, whatever you may be, you have the same rights. And it's supremely important that you read, get your own copy of Robert's Rules of Order and learn it. And I would advise you to read the principles underlying parliamentary law in the first chapter about 20 times until you can almost quote it yourself. Because otherwise, you can get overrun. And the thing is, every person's opinion in this room is important. The whole point of being a parliamentary body is no one is allowed to take it over. No individual can try to run the room the way they want. And if you see somebody doing that, you need to stand up for yourself. Because if you're just quiet, and I've only been on the board a couple of years, and I've seen it happen many times. People think their idea is great, and they always want to run it. It's kind of human nature. But you've got to stand up for yourself. And you've got to know your rights to stand up for your rights. Because people, sometimes they're mistaken. Sometimes they'll tell you, well, you can't do that. They'll say, no, the rules say you can't do that. Well, actually, you need to know. Otherwise, people will shut you down. So, please, I can't emphasize this enough. There are people going to tell you that this is crap. The reason they're going to tell you that is because this stops somebody from taking over the room, and they want to take over the room. So, that's just the way it works. The other thing I want to say is there is the primary duties of this board are listed, I believe, in Article 9?
7.
And there's about 13, letter A through J or something. And you need to look at those. And each of you need to be making sure that there is no one item on that list that is important than every other item. If somebody says, the board should just do this, I don't care if it's baking cookies, you go, no, there's a whole list of things. And we need to be working on all these things throughout our service here. And make sure that nothing gets overlooked. And your whole purpose here is to ask questions. Find out the truth. If somebody just tell you, hey, it's okay, you don't worry about that, that person is not helping you be a good board member. You need to find out what you got to find out. So you've got to learn how to fight. And I encourage you to do so. And I'm going to be around. I'm going to be helping, maybe helping with the election if you guys decide to choose me as the election judge. And I will be serving on committees still, and I'm going to be around. So if any new people would like to talk to me and give you my opinions, you should talk and get to know everyone here. Everyone who's been on the board previously, everyone who's on now, you should get as much information as you can. That's going to help you do a good job. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, Bonnie, it's now or never on your baby.
Okay. I want to bring to mind, and I don't think I have to go up there so everybody can hear me. It says, Article 7, Local Station Boards, to review and approve the station's budget and to make quarterly reports to the foundation's board of directors, and that's what he was speaking to, A through
M.
Okay. So the only other question I have, and I got both of these things off of the website from Pacifica, and I've always just had this one lingering question that just won't go away, and that is E. The public access to financial information. The Act requires stations to make available to the public their annual financial and audit reports and other financial information they are required to provide to the CBP. CPB also requires that each CSG recipient post the following documents on its station website. Its most recent audited financial statement or unaudited financial statement for stations exempt from providing audited financial statements and its most recent annual financial report or AFR or annual financial summary of the FSR, whichever is applicable. Now, I've always had a problem with the fact that I couldn't find out how the money was being spent, but they keep asking everybody to raise money. And so, having been involved with other things before where you're trying to raise money, I know that that is, I find that bothersome, and I hope that all of you find that bothersome too. Because when I looked up on California's site, I think their last financial audit was in 2014 or 2012.
13.
And but there's some kind of legal something or other going on. So can we just need somebody to be straight with us. You know, I'm no genius. I'm no dummy either. But this bothers me that I can't find anything.
It has been tradition that we don't address the issues raised, but certainly there are a number of people at this table would be happy to talk to you if there's a break and or after
but
the meeting. However, I will tell you, you will find people that agree with you wholeheartedly around this table.
Point of order, you're interrupting her time.
Yeah, it's supposed to be published, is my point.
Right, and we aren't the body that has that obligation.
But you're supposed, according to these, you're supposed to hold them responsible.
I understand that.
So I'm asking you why you're not holding them responsible to get this done.
Because I just got here tonight.
I'm not here to argue with you.
We're going to have an election next month to elect the people that can hold the people that have failed to do that accountable.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring this up so we can discuss it. Because if we all want what's best for the station, then I think it would be discussed. Thank you.
The failure of the previous few years has got this done.
This is the time for
the next person.
The next person is Rick. He's there somewhere.
Rick.
Okay, I'm Rick Ponoff. I was a candidate for the LSB, and I'd like to thank the people who didn't vote for me. I was kicked out about the third round of the STV voting. And I'd like to welcome all of the new members to the board, and I wish you success. And like that lady said, I hope you elect people to the PNB who make damn sure that audits are going to be done and that we get the PNB money, no, not the PNB, the CPB, the Corporation of Public Broadcasting money, and also grants so that we could reverse the decline of Pacifica. And that's all I have to say, and good luck. And
Take names
and
kick butt.
Thank you.
Nancy, you're up.
All right, I'm Nancy Cyber, not Tommy. They all know me. Congratulations for this new 2017 LSB. And you got a hard road ahead. Number one, we are known as a nursing home radio station. Yep, we are. And some of you know very well we are. And so we're going to have to kick ass to get some good programming improvement. So you're going to have a programming council coming up, and I will come to volunteer whether you want me or not. And at the National Programming Committee meeting that we met a few nights ago, we voted on youthening up our programming because, like I said, we don't want to be a nursing home station forever. So we voted on a proposal to the PNB for 1 hour of under 16 years of age programmers, at least 1 hour per week, and 5 hours of 16 and over to 25, 5 hours more. This is a big challenge, but it's going to have to kind of bump some of these old programmers. Whether they like it or not, nobody's mortal.
No more.
All right. And our program is also called Who's Gonna Buy Stale Bread? This is one of our fellow board members in California. We have to do something about this. We're gonna have to go to the streets, to the listeners. What are your needs? Are we meeting your needs? We're gonna have to answer these things. Next. Letter G. That's where you have the right to collaborate with management about programming. That's your right and your duty. So anybody, even a person like a manager tells you, oh, forget about G, it's not that really important. Please, please remember, this is what you, if you forget it and you don't do something about it, you're going to have me at public comment every meeting. Next. We need outreach. A lot of people don't know we exist still. I mean, we have to improve the program guide and the way we have to go out with missionary zeal and tell people we exist, and younger people do. And about the financial transparency, thank you. This is something that was so elusive. Maybe y'all can do something about it so that it's in your right, unfettered right, to see anything. Bank statement? I never got to see a bank statement. It should be your right. It's the unfettered right of the PMB. You're going to elect four of them. But for the history of this station, only one person was able to get it done. It was Adriano in 2012 in December. Was it? No. 2013, yeah. 14. See, up until that time, not one of the PMB directors of KPFD ever asked for a financial inspection. They didn't have, I don't know, the colonies to do it. So everything was blind trust into this person. And I don't think we should do that anymore with our listeners. Our listeners' money, that should not happen anymore. Okay, my love to all of you, and I will get after you if I find you lazy.
Can I say something? Real quick, I did send an email to someone today called Maria Biz at KPFA, and I let her know that I was going to ask these questions at this meeting tonight, and that if we didn't get any action on this, that I was going to try to get a hold of Amy Goodman and try to see if she can investigate it.
The next and last person on the list so far, if there's anybody who wants to add themselves.
I'd like to add myself.
Yeah, if you want to come get it, and then Elaine, you're the next one.
We're ready.
Oh, okay.
I don't have to put my name. My name's Pat.
Pat, come on up. And the lady beside you wanted to come too.
The only thing I want to say is I come to a lot of the meetings, and it's real hard to hear when there's side conversations going on, mm-hmm. and especially when there's conversations going on between you and someone when other things are being discussed. So I think in a board meeting, there should be some sort of a hierarchy. Maybe that's in one of your A through M rules. But can y'all please adhere to that? Because it's really disturbing to the people out here, because this room is so large. Maybe the first six or seven can hear what's going on, but I know these guys can't even hear what's going on, much less us, and it is a public meeting.
Are we speaking on behalf of people running for the board right now?
You can talk about anything you want.
May I sit, please?
You may.
I'm worn out from wandering around trying to find you guys.
Talk loud.
I would like to speak on behalf of Wiseville for president. I think he has very much the interests of KPFT and the forefront of his brain, and it sort of stays written across his glasses. So he's trying his best to get more outreach out there, and that's good too. We need more people, and more people contributing.
Okay. Dwayne, you're up. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. My name is Jean Wilkins Denver. I have a master's in human services. The history of America is very inhumane, psychotic, sociopathic, colorphobic, and genocidal. And I'm aware that Mr. Dwayne Lark was on the board, and now he is no longer on the board. And that's a large constituency that's railroaded to prison and has experienced more lynching than any other ethnic component in our country. And so it doesn't speak well for this board, in my opinion, that this man is no longer a member of the board. It was against the law for us to read and write in the United Snakes of America. And I think it's very important that you review the decision that you made. It is sociopathic, colorphobic, and incredible. This is going to be 2017, and I suggest that you take the test, www.racismtest.org, so that you be better prepared for 2017. Thank you.
Dwayne, I think it's your turn.
Wow. Well, I wanted to be last because I wanted everyone to be able to speak. Had I not got the opportunity to speak for me as chair, this has been the best time of the evening. Listening, oftentimes it wasn't favorable to me, but I hope each one of you take the attitude that whatever work you do here, listening to the public, not even the listeners, but the public who potentially are listeners, are more important than any other business that you could be taking care of. But I hope I get to my most salient points, and one of which, if I would take the liberty of sitting down, because my voice is big enough to be heard, and I've been told it's too loud, so some want me to tone it down. But already, I've noticed at least one or two of the board members having an attitude toward another one. It's like childish, hissing, that kind of, and it's supposed to be a professional person. I think that ought to stop tonight. You ought to leave that out the door. Secondly, there was a question asked about accountability and transparency, and Robert, I can't let you off the hook, my good friend, but you were the chair for 3 years of this board, and you never required the station manager or anyone else to publish that information, which is standard information for any of us who've been in radio, not 35 years.
Amen.
But 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 4 years. Those are requirements that are so clear to the FCC that they're supposed to be so apparent when you walk in that door. But there's been a group here that have been tamping down on transparency, protecting one person for the sake of the station. That's over now. That's behind us. And I thank God that I had some hand in allowing us to go to a different trajectory, allowing KPFT to come from the ashes of oblivion. 99% of this city, I grew up just 7 miles south of here called Sunnyside, listening to KPFT at 15, 16, and 17. Avant-garde in your face. The reason the Ku Klux Klan bombed it because it wasn't as sanitized as it is now. There were voices on there that was pissing folk off, saying things that you couldn't hear on traditional radio. And what I submit to you, you can talk about fundraising all you want. I will be here making sure, Bill, that fundraising is going on the board, since that was your voice all during my team, fundraising. Provisional means that if you do release those documents to these individuals and they're no longer certified to be on the board, it would mean that you've made a stupid fiduciary decision that you could postpone for just another meeting. I mean, that's just some common sense things that you want to rush, Hank, to relieve. And this is what the insidious part about it is. Okay, tell me, tap down on this one. This is the stupid part about this. He doesn't understand that when something is said and done in private in a executive session, it's not going to be written in minutes, because it stays in that room. The only thing that's going to be written is a report out, which is a line of something. So people sitting here want to be, but they have no clue what fiduciary responsibility is, what confidentiality is. The same person has revealed confidential information that most of us have held to our chest for months. And this person is on record, public record, of disclosing it. So, I'm here to say, I'm glad that you gave me 10 minutes because I haven't had 10 minutes in 3 years chairing this thing. And Ted, you've got to get to see how difficult it is to look and see and say, but when you're in that hot seat and trying to corral all these barracudas and tigers and alligators and everything else, that you have to set a tone. You have to get control. Nevertheless, no, I got 5 more minutes. The rule is 30 minutes, and if nobody else want to talk, I'll talk for the next 5 minutes. That's been the standard procedure, and it's not going to change tonight.
Thank you.
Anybody want to talk?
I want to hear him.
Well, you had your chance. Well, and the fact of the matter is, you're just trying to do what you did on that board, which is circumvent the truth, which is to try to stop the truth from coming out. That's what you're trying to do right now. Now, the reality of the matter is, all of you have a clean slate. If you leave those attitudes at that door, if you leave those personal agendas at that door, and look at it from the holistic standpoint, that what some of y'all don't believe in the foundation. Let's just be real about it. Some of y'all believe KPFT can cash out from the foundation and survive on its own. That's asinine, stupid. If the foundation fails, it's going to be 10 entities competing for this signal. And one of y'all may think you're going to get it, but you're not going to get it. Because it's already 3 or 4 entities that you don't even know about, although you've been in place for the last 2 or 3 years to assume this signal. It ain't going to happen. And it ain't going to work. So, employees paid and unpaid, ought not, should not, has been using the airwaves to spew evil words about board members and the board activities in the presence of the manager. This has happened recently this week. It has happened in the last few months. It has happened in the last few years. It's got to stop. It's the same as the lack of transparency of the fiduciary information that this member is talking about, and using our airwaves for personal purposes needs to cease, desist, and cease right now. And in closing, you can't boycott a meeting and then say, well, you want to know what happened in the meeting. And the meeting happened to be a confidential meeting described by CPB. And we read this into the record, Mr. Chair. CPB does not require, if you needed to go in executive session right now, the CPB does not require you to have advance notice, because that's impossible. The CPB says that as soon as possible, you report out. And in 10 days, if it's not a confidential meeting, you report the minutes. But if it's a confidential meeting, you only report out. So you have the authority under CPB given information that you believe you need to have to make a decision about voting for members of your leadership or voting for the PNB representatives. You could call and ask us to leave right after this session of public comment if you deem that necessary. So read CPB for yourself. It's no big secret. Don't be lazy. Don't let people stuff this stuff down your throat. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, it's illegal. Go to the CPB website. And you ought to be ashamed, board members. Those of you who are coming back ought to be ashamed. Shame. And those of you new ones ought to be ashamed that you haven't gone on your own initiative on the PNB website and read the bylaws. So you would know them for yourself. And if you haven't done that, that proves you're really not up to this. And I'll be brief. 1 minute left for anybody who may want to be next.
Well, there is a young lady in the back of the room that had her hand up, and I would ask the permission of the board to allow her to speak for her full 4 minutes.
Yes, yes.
If there's no objection, she may not use it, but at least it's there for you.
I'll try to do it in 2.5, right? Hi, first I want to introduce myself. My name is Stephanie Coleman. I have been a sort of community member of KPFT, welcomed by KPFT in ways that I can't even imagine. Founder of Trey Magazine, and really sort of had the great fortune recently. A group of students last year came and said, we really want to learn journalism, we want to learn news, and it was a bunch of them and one of me, and I didn't know not only where they can go, but where they, I could call Radio 1 and all those other groups know if you're there, but where can they actually learn journalism and have impact? and there was no other place but KTFT. And, you know, I'm not going to say names, but of course we know who the general manager is, and Ernesto and those individuals who were on the ground really let us in, because I don't want this to be about personalities, but they really have taught our kids how to use the board. The personalities have really engaged and committed. When the lights go out, they're running around trying to figure out how to help us happen and how to make it happen. And I have been profoundly hurt and disappointed by actually being in KTFT and seeing that the 9-to-5 of I mean, it's grassroots in KTFT, right? It's kind of glued and taped. It's really about passion. And those students who don't listen to radio at all, they find their music on Twitter and Instagram. They've never had interest. They're not going to be, I mean, we have an age demographic in this board, and the board's sort of walking in and not speaking to each other and all the sort of horrific things that 18 and 16 and 15-year-olds are seeing, none of them want to follow in that for KPFT. None of them are learning from KPFT how to do journalism anymore because they're too busy missing out on not wanting to be this. So I think KPFT has more to offer. I think regardless, two board members, 10 board members, if you don't have someone in here, 18, 24, 36, who want to be a part of it, it's a dead station in general. But you do have people who want to be a part of it. You do have students. Friday, the room is full. I've heard new board members say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. Well, those 8 have brought on another 8. Those 16 have brought on an entire school. Ted has a group that has an entire district. But because we're so busy navigating this, we can't figure out the logistics of getting the kids to the building. You have an entire base that can transform you through social media, that can engage community, that wants to do the prison show, that wants to expand the knowledge, and it is just a bunch of grumpy kind of older people who are arguing every time they walk in, and the kids are just like, well, can I not do that? And if there's someplace else, I can go to learn journalism and news. And I think that is sort of a tragic state for KPFT because there's really no other place where they can learn real news and real community but here. So I would just kind of ask whatever this thing is that's going on, sort of debacle of politics and power. When we had the airway before the election to talk about the real issues, we talked about each other. And we wasted a major moment to teach community and to transform community. So if we could just sort of reset and not use, if there's one individual that's a problem, I can't imagine with this many people in here and that many students on Friday that we would scapegoat one individual for the station's failing. Those kids have not seen this many people on any day since I've been there in the 2 years coming to mentor them. There was a group that taught them how to answer the phone. They were like this. Okay, how do I ask for the money? Okay, well, they want to ask for the money. They've never filled out a form. Could someone teach them how to answer the phone on Saturdays? So I am kind of, whatever you do, you do. But really sort of taking a minute and reflecting on the next 100 years of KPFT and why tonight everyone didn't have someone under 20 who can be learning how to work and be a part of the future. If you guys are interested in that, I can bring as many kids as you want. They are ready, and if they don't come here, they won't come here later. So with that, I just sort of am, you know, hope you do better because the community is watching, and in many ways they're profoundly disappointed because you have greater capacity than this. So.
Bring the voices at work.
Okay, anybody else? We're out of time, but someone might make a motion or somebody has to say something.
If there's anybody else that wants to speak, I move we let them speak for their 4 minutes.
Well, I'm not hearing anybody. I think we've been around the room for everybody that looked interested. So we move on to the next item of the agenda.
Mr. Chair, I don't think I used my 4 minutes. May I have another half minute?
Sure. Yes. Bill of the board. Anybody object?
No.
Hearing no objection, take a half a minute.
we heard something today about the audit not being paid for. That is a decision that is made by the national board. And I distinctly remember, not this spring, but the spring before when I was on the national board, stating that we had the money and to pay the auditor. Pay the auditor. Like, pay the auditor. And I think we even made a motion to pay the auditor. So why there's any doubt that the auditor should not have been paid, I do not know. And to my knowledge, you as chair, when you were chair and I worked with you, the financial documents were in order, the budgets were approved on time, they were sent to the finance committee. KPFT's budget was always the first to go to the finance committee to be approved by the national board up until this past year, to my knowledge. Thank you.
All right, so we get to the general manager's report. Oh, we've long passed that.
Yeah, well, let's get to the general manager's
over time. So,
yeah,
you're on.
Okay. What am I down for?
Your report?
Ten?
Where were you? There was no time listed.
Timeless?
There was no time listed.
Okay. So the reports are floating around the table. They should get to you in a minute, Bob. They were emailed out this afternoon. They're on their way. Some of the things that I would reread it and see a few things I want to emphasize, a few things that I maybe didn't put in that I'd like to. So I mentioned in the business and finance section that we got a $10,000 check in the mail recently in support of the prison show from a person who uses the Brown Foundation to distribute their personal grants. That's a wonderful thing. We have to, I think we have to grow that kind of input and what we've done in terms of justifying it for the prison show. I mean, one of the reasons that we can tell this foundation that this supports the prison show is that we spend nearly $1,000 a month just to finance the 91.9 translator up in Huntsville, and we barely get any feedback from Huntsville, but we know that it's doing a good public service. So that's a rationale we've used with the Brown Foundation, and it seems to satisfy the donor, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Mentioned right along near that, in that part of the report, I mentioned something called some recent community partner efforts. You may or may not have been scrupulously listening and heard something recently, starting I think last Friday, kind of a generic thing about Houston Community College. You may have heard something prior to that about the Houston Arts Alliance and some folklife things. You may hear something in the near future about the Houston Symphony. These are manifestations of this Community Partners program that is a form of underwriting without the neutron bomb effect of the word underwriting, which has that effect in the culture of Pacifica, at least it has historically. This, I think, is a wonderful program, and as I mentioned in this report, it can potentially generate about $21,000 to KPFT in a very short period of time. And I like to think of $10,000 increments as being another fund drive that you can take off the calendar and actually just do regular programming. So that's, I think, a real positive positive movement in terms of diversifying the income streams into KPFT. We're going to be joining in the programmatic scheme on with our sister stations in a 100 Days of Trump Watch program that will start on Inauguration Day. Mitch Jeserich in Berkeley is being funded by KPFA to move to Washington, D.C. for a period of time, maybe not the entire 100 days, but they've guaranteed him that he can be there for at least 3.5 weeks. So he'll be there on Inauguration Day. His Letters in Politics show will morph into a Trump Watch kind of a deal.
And we will be working with them to be part of that program. Our sister station in Washington is going to collaborate with them, and we hope to birth a new network show out of that. When I left the station earlier this afternoon, or late this afternoon, Minister Robert and Akua were in the back studio with Bobby cutting a promo for the annual Kwanzaa broadcast, which of course is on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas. The first day of Kwanzaa is always December 26th. And KPFT, since I came back, has endeavored to always be there for the first night of Kwanzaa. And will again. There's also, I believe, Ray Hill is going to put on his Santa outfit and do a Christmas night special, and that ought to be an interesting thing. Lars Headington, who temporarily was on the board, maybe isn't on the board, but may be on the board again, is settling in as the Monday host for the Wide Open Spaces show. He's been working for a long time in the music library and also on an HD show. So we welcome him to a regular Monday presence on the air and have gotten a lot of great feedback. And he taps into a lot of the newest things because he's the one who opens up most all the music that shows up at the station, so that's good. If you all are out and about tomorrow night, come downtown to the conservatory at 1010 Prairie Street. This will be our second Third Thursday event with this underground beer garden and food hall. There's four restaurants built into it. There's another one that's going to be a pop-up. There are going to be some craft vendors. By popular demand, the DJ FX and Naboo from Generation are going to come back and spin tomorrow night, and they really are some high energy guys and really did a lot for kicking this thing off last month. Sadly, not enough of y'all were there for this inaugural that was also a volunteer appreciation event, but it went rather well, and thanks to everybody who helped make it a good time. Okay. We are going to be asking you, as soon as you all get organized and have your officers picked and build your structure and start working on things here at the radio station, one of the things we want you to work on is the finances and the budget, because the budget as it exists right now doesn't even have a program director in it. The station doesn't have a program director. The station doesn't have a development director. The station, if you were at a staff meeting I was at yesterday, you would have seen seven people in a room. And so the staff we have is kind of stressed out right now. You know, it's kind of tough. And so I'm coming to you to ask you to look at the KPFT budget, which was passed by the previous incarnation of you locally, but has not been passed and is kind of out there in Pacifica National Land, unapproved. Last year, for the first time in my 15 years, KPFT's budget was not approved before the fiscal year started, and it was over half a year into 2016 that we actually had an approved budget. This year we're starting off again on the same wrong foot. We're already in the third month. We're finishing the first quarter this month. There's no budget. It's representative of some breakdowns, and I'll own my part of it, but you know, it's a breakdown in the fiduciary responsibility of this board to work with the management to construct a budget. We did rather well with it for over 13 consecutive years. And it's also, I think, a testament to Pacifica's national issues that has happened in the past at several of the other stations. And now that's more of the rule than the exception. And so that's part of the problem we have with our network.
Excuse me, Dwayne. I'm going to pass the gavel to Bill while I'm running to the restroom. Hopefully you won't need to use it, but I'll try.
Okay.
And that makes me want to, I want to reference a couple things that I heard in public comment. One, I agree with former Chair Lark that, I mean, I take notes at all these meetings, and the public comment to me is a very important part of that meeting. And I've always taken notes of who says what and try to look into the whys of some of those things. And, you know, Bonnie's comments related to finance and bothersome, you know, missing reports and things. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Community Service Grant process is one that I've worked with many, many times. It's what I've always considered to be some of the lowest hanging grant fruit money that you can grab. I mean, it's there. They want you to take it. They don't want to say we have unclaimed money because that makes it easier for the Congress critters to claw it back and then use it to justify killing the thing off, which is, you know, a high likelihood in the Trump administration anyway, since he's only putting people in place in the, you know, in the departments and agencies that they want to kill. And I figure, though, it's merely a pittance of a penny out of the federal defense dollar, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has probably got a target on its back, and I'm not sure that Big Bird is big enough to, you know, stave that hit off another time, as Bert and Ernie and them have always been able to do in the past. So as much as I want and we need to push Pacifica to get an audit completed so that you can, with us, actually claim that money that's our tax dollars that we're not getting back. And I've shared this with the previous board, that in the 3 years of Pacifica's inept fiscal management nationally, it's cost KPFT, by my estimates, $495,000 in CPB community service grant dollars that we never will get. It's gone. It's gone. The last bits of it are disappearing at the rate of 1/365th a day as we speak. And I'll go ahead and I'll be filling out the next round of applications to keep us potentially available for that money should Pacifica ever get its act together again, and I hope it does. But based on the last 3 years' experience, you know, it's rather grim. Many, many dollars have been lost because of infighting here, political infighting at Pacifica nationally and locally, what have you, that have cost us, and money has been used on things like paying for lawyers to do that kind of activity rather than pay for an audit to complete a simple process that would allow us to claim some of our own money. It's really sad. I can only say that here at KPFT we've done everything we can to manifest that every single year. And again, up until recent years, when the national structure was collapsed in the past 3 years or so, you know, the nearly $12,000 a month that we're billed for Pacifica National Office, in addition to the nearly $1,600 a month that we're billed for the Pacifica Archives, that nearly $12,000 a month used to pay for a national program director, a national development director, a national HR director, a full complement of advisors and finance staff and payroll staff and so on. And there's barely a there at this point, but the bill is still the same percentage of the dollar that has always been expected as a levy, a tax on the donations we receive from listener sponsors, which is 17%. To the national office and 2.5% to the Pacifica Archives. So that one of my attempts to balance the budget that came out late over a year ago was to begin that negotiation with the Finance Committee of the board by proposing a reality check that we reduce that that levy from 17 cents on every dollar to 12. And I thought that was actually being generous, considering the return on the investment for what we used to get versus what we would pay for that percentage. And honestly, if we're paying for what we get for that, it would really be more like 6 or 7. And so we went into the finance negotiations saying, well, we're going to just lower it to 12. And I thought that was reasonable, but it was, of course, unacceptable at the national level, because we certainly couldn't set that precedent. But we can set some precedents. We can do community partnerships. We can be innovative in ways here in Houston that other stations can't. And I encourage you to do that. So I also want to challenge you, because you're starting right on the cusp of KPFT's 47th anniversary, which will come up on March 1st of next year. So just a couple of months into your tenure as board members, will be 47. So for some of you, when you reach the end of your first term, KPFT will be on the cusp of its 50th anniversary. And that seems like a long ways away, but you know, when I took this job in 2002, I took it as a 2-year, maybe 3-year experiment in trying to get KPFT and the community back together, which I think in many great ways it has. But I'm still here nearly 15 years later, and this is still a mission unaccomplished, and for that I feel very incomplete with what I had thought would be a process that would be a lot more collaborative, would be a lot more working in step together, rather than breaking down after winning the revolution into a series of that stereotypical liberal firing squad, that circular firing squad that is all too common. And we've seen a lot of that over the years, and I think that it's part of the reason that so few people in Houston know about KPFT. There is no marketing budget. We rely on you. We rely on bumper stickers, and we rely on, you know, being in the MLK parade. We rely on you being a human billboard and having a T-shirt on, and that's nice, but it's not enough in these important times. And as we walk down this road of media consolidation into a fake news world where social media is algorithmically programmed to deliver you only what it knows you want to get and feeds you this same tripe that doesn't have very much, if any, truth in it, and is based on consumerism and celebrity and flash rather than substance, the importance of KPFT and Pacifica in our community, in our neighborhood, in our world, to me, becomes more important than ever. And the challenge for KPFT moving forward is to evolve into this multi-platform, social media savvy, truth-telling machine that it is, but is not great at it yet. And it's kids like the kids from Heist, the Trey kids, it's the kids from Bel Air, it's the Student Congress kids who don't even listen to radio but love it. There's a mysticism, there's a magic to radio that even kids who don't listen to radio are fascinated by radio. Every little Cub Scout troop that comes through there wants their picture taken. They want to hear their voice doing a station ID. There's still a magic there that we can leverage to save our community, to save the world. And that's what Pacifica's job is. That's what we all signed up for in various different ways. So I want to share something with you, because I think this is important. Back in 2007, about 5 years into my tenure on this job, I really felt that the bickering, the infighting, the finger-pointing, the political nastiness was reaching such a fevered pitch. And we were hosting the national board of Pacifica, because back then, the board met every 4 months, and it moved from city to city, and we were a regular host of everybody in the country, and they came to Houston. They were last here, I think, in 2012, because they don't really do that a lot. But they were here, and I gave them a sermonette, and if you dig into the archives, you'll find this 7 or 8 minute sermon, maybe not as profound as Reverend Lark might deliver, but it was my truth to their power on the PNB. And I challenged them to get beyond only seeing the least in each other, only impugning the worst in each other, and to look for the best in each other, to support each other in being that better person, to not evolve into that cliquishness and political infighting, formulaic way of not working together that we had been exhibiting, and we still do that. And one of the things I shared with them was something that I hold very dearly, and it's something that was written by Gwendolyn Brooks, and it speaks to, I think, some of what this is all about. You know, and I am pretty sure that I concluded this sermonette with this this little bit of wisdom from this amazing woman. And she said, "The earth is round, and what that means in part is that you and I can have completely different opinions and both be right. And that's what we need to support in each other. That's what we need to build from. And I've tried doing that for a long time. And you guys have a lot of work to do, and I'm willing to work with you and help you in any way I can, but I have to share this with you, and not to overburden you, especially you new people who are taking on a lot. You really are. And I thank you for that, because it's, you know, you will go home some nights and you will say, wow, my soul just got sucked out of 3 more hours of life. And then some days you will go home and you will feel that you are not even touching the ground because something inspirational has happened that you're a part of. And you're going to get both of those things. And I wish you more of the not knowing if your feet are on the ground than the other side of it. But I have to tell you, there's going to be a lot of that. And I have to tell you this, that I have had nearly 15 full years of it and more. Because we struggled for many years in the lawsuit years in the late 90s. We met frequently and vociferously in opposition to the corporatizing of Pacifica that began in 1996 with the purging, the ethnic purging of KPFT, among other things. We established the Houston Committee for People's Radio and met at the GLBT house on Hawthorne weekly at the First Unitarian Church regularly at Mecca. We held teach-ins, we raised consciousness, and we opened the door of KPFT and brought everybody back in. And we didn't cut anybody's heads off. There was no bloodletting. It was a peaceful revolution. And people like Rick Potthoff were instrumental in it. He was part of the straight-up lawsuit that helped win us our station back in 2001. And that's a great thing, and that's a testament to our endurance as a community. But I have to tell you that I'm a little tired of this. And I shared this with my staff yesterday, that I intend to retire from this day-to-day gig sometime in the coming spring of this next year. How that transpires, what that exactly is, I don't know yet. We don't know yet. But I want to see KPFT pass the leadership torch, if you will, to that next generation of young, inspired, tech-savvy, media-hip folks. And I see some of y'all at this table. And I see a lot of them around the radio station on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of them are hidden inside our HD channel that many of y'all don't know. And it's, but they're all there. And that energy exists, and it can make the difference in our community moving forward. And I'm excited about that. And, I think that's enough for me. Thank you.